Okay, it's time for our Bible reading now. Our Bible reading is from Isaiah. And Jeff is going to come and bring our Bible reading to us.
We have two readings from Isaiah. The first reading is from chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. The Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Second reading is from Isaiah chapter 27, verses 1 to 6, titled Deliverance of Israel. In that day, the Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan the gliding serpent, Leviathan the coiling serpent, he will slay the monster of the sea. In that day, sing about a fruitful vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night, so that no one may harm it. I am not angry. If only there were briars and thorns confronting me, I would march against them in battle. I would set them all on fire. Or else let them come to me for refuge. Let them make peace with me. Yes, let them make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we come to think what this passage might be saying to us this evening. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you from a whole variety of different places and situations this evening. And we pray that as we come to think and look at these passages of Isaiah now, that you would still our hearts and that you would focus our minds, so that we might hear what you have to say to us through these passages today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of you will know that I'm a bit of a keen football fan. And when I was younger, my life was obsessed with all things football. You'd quite often find me outside running around after a ball, trying to look skillful and regularly failing. You would often find me catching up on the latest transfer news on the news or in the paper. Or you would find me sitting around at home in front of a TV or a computer monitor playing Championship Manager. Now, those of you who do not know what Championship Manager is and have not experienced a teenager's love affair with Championship Manager, let me explain. Championship Manager is a game that enables you to become a football manager of any club in the entire world. It is your responsibility as the football manager to choose the best team, the best 11 players that are going to go out on a Saturday and win the match for you. It's your responsibility to change tactics and to make substitutions that will change the momentum of a match so that you can be successful and guarantee your team 3 points and a win for your team. But not only are you responsible for the on-pitch responsibilities as a manager, but you are also responsible for your club's performance off the pitch. And therefore, you're responsible for transfers as well. So you have the decision. You could go out and buy Gareth Bale for £90 million. Or you could invest in some young, homegrown players that, hopefully, unlike Arsenal, will actually become through the ranks and really be the world beaters that they promised to be. It's a good job Martin's not here. You could also choose to invest with the current players that you already have and nurture them and develop them to be the best team that they could possibly be. I hope you are getting a little bit of a sense as to why a football-loving teenager might enjoy playing this game so much. Now, when you start a game of Championship Manager, one of the first decisions that you have to make straight away is whether you would like your chairman to become a club benefactor, where they invest a whole load of money into your club before you start your managerial reign. Now, this decision is a decision that has great potential, but it also comes with great risks. The decision that you need to make is whether or not you're going to ask the chairman to plough this money in. Now, the benefits are obvious. If you get more money, then you get more players or better players. You have more money to go and spend on players and better facilities. But the danger is that along with the better players and the better facilities that you request, the expectations of what the club chairman expects of you increase. And you all know what happens in the football world when you struggle to meet with the expectations that the chairman has for you. You get fired. Now, I don't talk about Championship Manager just because I like reminiscing about old computer games that I like to play. But rather, I think that this is a bit of an analogy and shed some insight into what is happening in this passage or in these passages from Isaiah. The first similarity that I want to draw between the imaginary career of a football manager and that of that is shown in Isaiah chapter 5 is that we all have been given great potential. Isaiah chapter 5 is not just a song that has been written by the prophet, but it is also a parable that illustrates a spiritual truth that might be more easily understandable to the people that Isaiah is speaking to. So within this parable, we find that the friend of the prophet is not just a character that Isaiah has dreamt of, but it's also symbolic of God. And the vineyard that is also representative of God's people, the Israelites. So if we bear these two different characters in mind, we read verse 2 again, we hear this. He, that is God, dug the soil and cleared it of stones. He planted the finest vines. He built a tower to guard them, dug a pit for treading grapes. He waited for the grapes to ripen. Now, I'm no great agriculturist. I'm not very good with green fingers at planting things. Generally, they die quite quickly. But I do know that normally you have to put stuff in the ground and fertilise it and nurture it in order to get the best possible crop that you can when you're planting plants. And here in verse 2 of chapter 5, it strikes me that God has given the Israelites all the potential and the greatest backing in order that he possibly could, in order for them to do what it is that they are intended to do. God has given his people all the gifts, all the skills, all the abilities to do what it is that a vine should do, to do what the people of God should do. And that is to be fruitful. And I think that this is a really important thing for us to recognise. Often in churches we hear of what it is that God has asked us to do or what God has asked us to be. And sometimes we can hear these things that God asks of us and we can sit there and say, but how can I do that? That's so difficult. It's almost unnatural for me. It's such a burden if I'm going to have to do that. And we can so easily become disillusioned and disheartened when we see what it is that God asks for us. But then, if we remember Isaiah 5, we see quite clearly that this is not how it should be. God does not want us to do anything that is unnatural or a burden to us. God does not want us to do anything that we find difficult and frustrating. God wants us to do what it is that we are created to do. He has provided us with the skills, with the attributes, with the abilities to do what it is that he has asked for us to do. Like a football team that has received a huge new investment and a wonderful new manager, in each of our lives, the potential is enormous. You all have all that you need in order to be a success in God's eyes. But this is something that relates deeply to our own individual lives as well. As we are seeking to live out our lives on the front line, as we're going to go out into our everyday lives, living for God in the places where we work, where we live, where we socialise, are we aware that God has given us all that we need in order to be fruitful for him? It is just not the case that some people are fruitful Christians and others are not. Some people have got the gift of going out and being fruitful for God, and others of us should just clap and support them and say, well done, you're doing a really good job. Yes, it's true that we all have different gifts. And these can be taken and used in a variety of different ways. But we can all be fruitful. Some of us, for example, might have the gift of going out and sharing our faith, of being an evangelist and telling people of the God that we know, of the God that we love, and helping them to see and encounter the God that we know to be true in their own individual lives. But that is not only what being fruitful is. Maybe others of us have a gift of being caring, for example, or the gift of encouragement, or the gift of service, or countless other gifts that there may be in each of our lives. The gifts that God gives to his people are boundless. But in receiving those gifts, God has already equipped us with all that we need to be fruitful followers of him. God gives us all the potential that we need. Yet I know that it is only human to find ourselves in situations where we can find ourselves out of our depths. And I know that I have certainly found myself in situations where I sit there thinking, I just can't do this. This is beyond me. How on earth am I meant to deal with this? And there may be people here this evening who are feeling the same way. But let me encourage you, if you do feel like that, if you have felt like that, or if you know that you may well feel like that in the future, remember this passage from Isaiah chapter 5. God equips us, God gives us everything that we need so that we can be fruitful for him. Our potential is there. We have all that we need. So long as we are following God, so long as we are seeking to be fruitful with the gifts that he has provided us with, even when the going gets tough, we can still do it. We can still do it because God has given us the potential that we need. God has given us all these gifts and skills and this great mass of potential that we need in order to be fruitful people that he has created us to be. But we need to be aware that, like a chairman of a football club, God also has expectations for the potential that he has provided us with. We need to be aware that in Isaiah chapter 5, the prophet is not just writing to encourage people, to say how wonderful and gifted they are with all the potential that God has lavished upon them. In fact, Isaiah is doing quite the opposite. Isaiah is rebuking God's people because they are not making the most of the potential that he has given to them. And instead, they are producing bad fruit. Isaiah is promising God's people judgment for not meeting and not living up to the expectations that he had for them. After the encouragement of the first couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 5, the tone changes. And we hear that the vineyard that has all that it needed to produce good grapes and a good harvest produced sour grapes instead. As God reflects on what has been produced in verse 4, we are told that God questions himself, asking, "Is there anything that I failed to do for it? Then why did it produce sour grapes and not the good grapes that I expected?" God had expectations for the vineyard that he had worked on and provided for. God had expectations for his people, for the Israelites, that he had equipped with such potential and with such gifts and abilities. But in verse 7, we hear Isaiah say, God expected them to do what was good, but instead they committed murder. He expected them to do what was right, but their victims cried out for justice. The challenge for us today is whether or not we are living up to the expectations that God has placed on us. Are we doing and living for him in a way that is good? Or are we doing quite the opposite? Are we doing what is right and just? Or are we not living up to the expectations that God has for us with the potential that he has blessed us with? Isaiah chapter 5 ends bleakly. God had great hopes for his people. God had given them all that they needed. They were full with potential. He was excited. But they failed to live up to the expectations. If we were to go back to Championship Manager, it would be at this point where the chairman would come knocking on the door and say to you, "I think it's time you packed up your desk and you left my football club alone because you are destroying it. Please leave, you're fired." But God has a very different approach to that of a football club chairman. And as we move our focus to look at Isaiah chapter 27, this can be seen especially in verse 3. Here we hear that God again commits himself back to his vineyard and to his people. The Israelites have not lived up to his expectations. They have let him down. And they have not been the fruitful people that God had hoped they would be. And yet he says in Isaiah 27 verse 3, "I watch over the vineyard and water it continually. I guard it night and day so that no one will harm it. I am no longer angry with the vineyard." Our God is a gracious God. Our God does not only love and care for us because of what we do and because we live up to the expectations that he has for us. Yes, God longs for us to follow him. He longs for us to be fruitful people who live up to his expectations. But he's not like a football chairman. He will not sack you because you fail. He won't even demote you because you fail. In fact, God does quite the opposite. God promises to restore us. Even when we fail to live up to the expectations that God has for us, not only is he gracious in not giving us the sack when we quite frankly deserve it, but he also remains faithful in continuing to invest in his people to help them to become fruitful once again. Despite our failure to live up to God's expectations, he continues to water his people. he continues to guard his people, nurturing them and continuing to give them all that they need in order to fulfill their whole potential. The truth is that each one of us, to one degree or another, has not lived up to the expectations that God has for each one of us. And some of us might be aware of that, some of us might be more aware of that than others. It might be that some of us know all too well that God has given us specific gifts that we are not using to be fruitful for him. And we are therefore not bearing the fruit that he would expect for us to be producing. To go back to the examples that I referred to earlier, if you have the gift of sharing your faith, are you for one reason or another not having the opportunity to fully exercise the gift of sharing your faith with those that you come into contact with? Maybe it's that your work is taking over your priorities, and because of your job, you are struggling to find ways that you might be fruitful for God. Maybe you're struggling to deal with how to share your faith at work because you spend all your days in an office on your own, attached to a computer screen, typing away, and you have very little communication with anyone. And in situations like that, how are you fruitful for God? How can you share your faith in situations like that? If your gift is caring, do you still invest in that gift, or have you been struggling to care for the people that you would usually care for if you were being truly fruitful for God? Have there been other demands on your life that have got in the way of you caring and exercising that gifting that God has given you? Or maybe there is just too much going on and you're struggling to keep on top of it all and do everything that you're aiming to do. How can you continue to serve people on your front line in new and creative ways and fully utilize the gifts that God has given to you? It may be just something as simple as when you're going to get yourself a drink in the office, you go and put the kettle on and you ask those around you whether they want a drink as well, just as a way of serving them, of caring for them, and maybe even of sharing your faith with them. Maybe it's as you're flying around going from one place to the other and you've got 5 minutes when you get to the end of the to your next destination. You could stop off as you're driving past someone that you know would love to see you and just spend a couple of minutes seeing how they are and having a quick chat before going off to then onto your next destination. How can you be fruitful with the gifts that God has given you? If you have been given gifts, no matter what gifts they might be, and you're not utilizing them, if you know that you are not fulfilling them, so that you're not fulfilling the potential that God has given to you, how are you going to break the cycle and start to exercise those gifts once again? How are you going to be fruitful for God again? There might be some people here today who, to be quite frank, they don't know the gifts that God has given to you. You're hearing this talk that God has given everyone the great potential that they need in order to be fruitful, and you can't see that in your own life. Maybe some of us know that we've been given certain gifts, but actually there's another gift that God has given to us that we're yet to realize and fully utilize. This evening, let me encourage you this week to take a moment to stop and to think in your week, whether you're on the commute, going into town, or as you're going about washing the dishes at home, or whatever it might be. Take a moment to stop and think, what are the abilities, what are the gifts that God has given you? What potential has God placed in your life for you to use? And how might you be able to use them in your life in order to be fruitful people for him? Our God is a gracious God, and by the end of chapter 27, after the doom and gloom at the end of chapter 25, we see that there is great hope of a time to come. There will be a time when the potential that God has poured out into our lives will come to fruition, and we will be the fruitful people that God expects us to be. Verse 6 of chapter 27 says this: In the days to come, the people of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, will take root like a tree, and they will blossom and bud. The earth will be covered with the fruits that they produce. That is the vision that we are working towards. A day when the earth will be covered with the fruit that we produce. This will be a day when the potential that God has poured into our lives is also poured out through our lives, and each one of us lives up to the expectations that God has for us. But the challenge for now is, how might we continue to be fruitful to our gracious God who has blessed us with such potential? How might we seek to fulfill the potential that God has given to us on our front lines, so that we might be one step closer to being on the earth that is covered with the fruits that we have produced because of the potential and the investment that God has given to our lives? Let's take a moment to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who gives us all that we need. Father God, we thank you that you have invested in us, that you have given us such potential, that you have given us the skills and the abilities to be people who are fruitful for you on our front lines. Lord God, we pray that you would forgive us when we struggle to see the potential that you have invested in us. And we pray that you would forgive us for the times when we fail to utilize the potential that you have given to us as well. Lord God, we pray that over this week, over the upcoming weeks and throughout our lives, you might help us to be people who continue to be fruitful for you in every area of our lives, that we might reach a place where the world is covered with the fruit that we produce for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.